Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, January the 15th, 15th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Arcata's very own city manager, Randy Mendoza.
Good Tuesday to you too, Brian.
Actually, that would be most tenured city manager?
Almost. I think Jay Parrish in Ferndale has me by a couple years on the city manager group.
Well, you'll probably take care of him in the next little bit. I mean, you took out Tyson. Took out Riggy.
Man.
There's not many guys left.
I know. I still, that hasn't been that long either. So there is somewhat of a turnover on those jobs, it seems.
We'll talk a little bit about turnover, some of the different challenges of being a city manager. We heard from Eureka's city manager last Friday. Now we're going to talk to a graybeard about what his impressions are after he's been around for a little bit when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:15. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza, but before we do, our quote. Are you ready for your quote, sir?
I can't wait.
Let's see. I have got... Oh, my. I can get you in so much trouble here.
Well, actually, you're allowing dead air time, and isn't that like an FCC felony or something to have
All
silence?
All right, smart guy. do you want to...
I'm pressuring you to get a good one.
Do you want a Nitschke quote, or do you want one from a fellow juvenile? Sometime he died about 60 years before Christ.
A juvenile. Well, let's go to the juvenile because it's
good.
Yeah,
it serves you right. Nothing is more intolerable than a wealthy woman.
Well, how do I relate to that?
You don't have to.
I'm neither.
You selected it, so it is now yours.
Now that we've chased away all of your listeners.
Yeah. Oh, there. Okay, you want to make a Mae West quote?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. He's the kind of man a woman would have to marry to get rid of.
Okay, that makes more sense in some
Oh, boy.
Sorry, folks out there in Radio Land.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, we'll all suffer through this one. So with the retirement or dislocation of Mr. Tyson.
Yes.
And Mr. Riggy, both in the same year, a lot of people would say that we lost a significant amount of experience, gray matter, et cetera, with their leaving. Does that impact the other cities, the other communities? Obviously, it would HCOG or any of the joint committees. But by having those guys not here, did you lose some resources also?
Absolutely. You know, these guys were around for so long. You know, they were around when some of these JPAs were created, for instance. So they were part of creating some of these JPAs, you know, like Humboldt Waste Management. They had a breadth of knowledge and institutional information on things that happened because, you know, our elected officials do get together on a variety of issues, you know, whether it's transportation or garbage or recycling, water, you know, all those things. Their presence is going to be greatly missed because they had made a huge contribution.
Now, I know both guys in this specific situation are readily available, but I would think that you would want to avoid contact just because, I mean, they're doing other stuff in their life right now. How do you try to backfill in that or develop your own information base so that you're able to continue on without having to deal with the inefficiencies of not having folks like that around?
Well, for us, you know, for colleagues, we won't hesitate to call them, you know, and we see them. I mean, I saw both of them last week. So, you know, we still run into each other. And
is he still wearing short pants?
Nobody was threatening it.
Yeah, he was making that a big deal when he was out here. Yeah.
But personally, I think for their organizations, I mean, institutional memory is so vital, and there's so many things that go on that you have to do from year to year that if you don't know that you have to do them, if you find out when it's too late, it could create a lot of problems for your organization. So I believe strongly in succession planning. I think that, you know, you should do the best you can to share the wealth so that, and I drive our staff crazy with emails, just copying them about what's going on, just because I want people more than just me to know what's going on. And I'm sure that David and Dwayne did that as well. But things do change, you know, and when you work for elected officials and the goals change all the time, the kind of the laws of average are that, you know, if you're in good with group A, by the time you get to group D or F, you know, probably you're not. And that's just the way the system is set up.
Is it in your contract to leave information, to have those resources available for whoever down the road, whether it's a successor or whether maybe 30 or 40 years down the road?
It's not in my contract, but I think it's an ethical thing that you should do. And I mean, councils, you know, talking about city councils, these are lay people. These are citizens, and they rely on their professional staff that has been trained and educated to do these jobs. So I really don't think that we should expect our elected officials to come up with those standards. Of course, you know, they have priorities that they lay out, and we certainly adhere to them. But I don't think that it's fair for those of us in management to get away with things just because the councils didn't tell us to do that. I think it's our responsibility to as the professional staff, to make sure that the organizations run as smoothly as possible and that we create good communication links.
And no secrets?
And absolute transparency, yes. That's something, well, that's part of the city manager's job, is because, you know, essentially the city manager is kind of like the chief of staff for the council. And
well, you can leave notes and leave out certain things.
Not to the council.
You can leave make notes and include everything. Just, well, depends on the style too.
You know, it's the style. I mean, and there are different styles. I mean, they call this the sixth council member style, which, you know, some city managers do that.
KINS News and Information Times 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Nowadays it's cold outside, especially if you can't afford warm winter coats for your children. That's where Coats for the Cold comes in. This homegrown organization collects donated coats, cleans them, and distributes them to needy people. It began in 2008 when Robert Lone saw sharply reduced coat prices in a store, bought a batch, and donated them to the Eureka Rescue Mission. Beginning late in January, Coats for the Cold will give out over 1,000 coats in the county, now including southern communities. To donate a coat, new or lightly used, there are 50 Humboldt locations where you can drop it off this month. Find them on this website, coatsforthecold.org. That's coatsforthecold.org. Volunteers from Teen Challenge and other organizations will give out the coats to children. Your warm heart can keep them warm this winter. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, the philosophy of a city manager, I would think, has an awful lot to do with the tenure of city manager also. When you see some of the different city managers at the gatherings statewide, do you play the game? You go, well, I could probably work with that guy's city council. Boy, he'd be run out of the rail in 2 minutes if he was in my...
And oh, sure.
See where you fit in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've had that feeling with city managers. I've had that feeling with police chiefs. Have that, you know, in all the positions I've held in meeting people statewide, I'm thinking, man, I've met a lot of people that I would enjoy working with, and I've met a lot that I was certainly glad that I didn't have to work with.
How much does a personality style determine the effectiveness of your doing the job?
Oh, I think it's a lot, you know, because it involves a lot of relationships with people and a lot of communication. I mean, one of the biggest problem issues that come up that from my experience is lack of communication. You know, when citizens get really mad, for instance, or when employees get really mad about something, I find generally our people work as hard as they can, and it's usually a mistake, and it's often a misunderstanding or a lack of communication or just a flat mistake. But being able to communicate and having methods to where information can be received by the leadership of the organization, I think, is critical.
So when you are documenting things, you know, either for the city council's edification, for staff, or for future references, how granular will you get with your documentation?
You know, it depends. And it's interesting you ask that question, because the longer I do this job and the more issues that I'm involved in and the complex issues that I'm involved in, there just isn't enough RAM in my brain to remember all the details that I'm supposed to remember. So I found myself in the last couple of years taking more detailed notes, so that each time, so when I go to these meetings and I take down these notes, and each time I go to the second meeting on these issues, I pull out the file and I have that there to remember, because there is just too much going on to not.
And I would think that that would be a real easy approach and philosophy to adopt, is you're sharing that information either with staff or perhaps with peers and asking for a copy of what their notes were from the meeting. So you can put things together and really have a comprehensive with some of these detailed issues.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that, you know, when you have notes, and we have that with email, of course, that we didn't have, you know, when I started in municipal government. But emails are good records to keep, to where you can remember dates. You know, sometimes you think that, well, didn't we just talk about that? And then you look back at the email and, my gosh, that was 4 months ago that we talked about that. We better get on this. And
little ticking time bombs that you've developed for yourself?
Well, there's a lot of stuff out there, and we really do our best to keep after it. But it's, you know, it's sort of sometimes it's we try to not always be in reactive mode. But
that's what I was going to ask you about, with all of the notes and all of the stuff going on. How do you track things so that they're not slipping through the cracks, but you're still flexible enough to be able to deal with the unanticipated frog? Frog is a reference to the book. I don't know if you're familiar with Brian Tracy.
No, I'm not.
A sales trainer kind of thing. He says, eat the frog. It's the name of the book.
Yeah.
Okay, what is the one worst thing you have to do today? Okay, do that first thing out of the chute. So if you eat the frog, the rest of the day is going to be okay.
Yeah.
Your attention isn't diverted. And it can't go anywhere but up from that spot.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah. I have a system that I've developed over the years. It's a combination of using my the task program on my Microsoft Outlook, so that I can, it tells me the date that I started it, and I give myself a reminder date, and then that's mostly what I use, because then I can look at that task wherever I'm at. I can look at it at the office, or if I'm sitting here waiting for you to come out of your office to talk on the radio, I can look at my task on my iPhone and keep track of things about it. Okay, what do I have to do tomorrow? So there's a lot of great technological tricks now to keep track of things.
So that would explain why you didn't let me in the studio for a couple minutes. You were doing homework?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was concerned it might have had something to do with me.
No, I would never keep you out of your studio unless it was official business.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or more convenient for you.
Or more convenient, right. or your wife told me to.
Yeah. And all things are possible. KINS, News and Information. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arcata City Manager Randy Mendoza. Randy, the development, redevelopment stuff that we've talked about, I guess what, about a year and a half ago is when this thing started to,
yes,
to be noticed, and then the issues of it. And I, you know, we talked a little bit about Dave and Dwayne. Regan, I know, and Tyson were both down in Sacramento at the same time. I guess from my perspective, defending projects that had already been let and were in mid-stride or had been completed, where's the concept? I mean, if you enter a contract,
well, there
you enter a contract, right?
Now, here we are, the first sentence of the discussion. You've already figured it out, and I don't know why others haven't. And that's exactly what it is.
Because I'm a quick study?
I guess so. In Arcata, we have three projects to where we have contracts and agreements. And this was that's what the redevelopment money was for, and particularly for the housing, the low to middle moderate income housing, which is a state requirement. You know, there's an agency in Sacramento called HCD that requires that. You know, it's in your housing element that you have this housing. And the housing part of the redevelopment money went towards that. But now we have the Department of Finance saying they got to claw it back. And in our, you know, to give back to the local entities here. So in this case, for Arcata, it would be the fire district and the schools and et cetera. So the problem is that in Arcata, the largest project, we signed the contracts in 2007. Well, they didn't make the law until 2011. So we're almost done. You know, the contractors need, you know, basically have stopped. I mean, the buildings are up. I mean, we're doing things like...
Is this the thing Strombeck's working on?
No, this is the one on South. It's called Sandpiper RV Park. It's we replaced some blighted, you know, kind of dilapidated trailer houses and put in these new modern modular homes, which we had a partnership through a nonprofit called Resident Owned Parks out of Sacramento. So you can actually go on the Resident Owned Parks website and take a look at these. But there they sit right now as we battle with the Department of Finance over the funds that were sent to the city to pay for these projects.
Okay, so being the militant libertarian I am, we've got the state coming in and they're pretty much telling you what, give us the money back? Or redistribute those dollars,
right,
to others?
Right. Well, we have state agency A, which is HCD, saying you have to have low to moderate level housing. So then we use the money that was set aside in the tax increment for that.
Which is legal.
Which is legal. That's why it's there. So then we enter into contracts and we start the projects. And meanwhile, you know, we're having to pay $5,000 a month to resident-owned parks until the park is they can to pay their payment, so that the property payment until people can move in. And then suddenly the legislature of California has changed the rules in the middle of the game and they put the cutoff. And there's a little glitch for Arcata that we did an amendment to the contract after they started the law. But our contracts were well in place before... Except they just didn't look at the word amendment. So they overturned our appeal, and that's where we're at. So right now, our assembly member, Wes Chesbro, is helping us and organizing a meeting in Sacramento. So I remain...
So it's the amendment?
Well...
That opened up the fissure to be able to drive through?
Well, it's not a fissure at all. I mean, it's we had three different contracts. I mean, the original contract started in 2007, and part of the problem why we were delayed in finishing this project was that it took a year and a half for the Coastal Commission to finish a determination on a ditch. So, you know, that's state agency number four. You know, so when folks read about this in the local media, and you know, you have a couple citizens saying, you know, oh gosh, Arcata, you should have known about it. Well, we're in the same spot as about 400 other cities in California.
So the project is near completed. All the contracts have been honored so far.
Yes.
And now the state is telling you to renege on contracts?
Well, no. What they said is that you could, us to use the money that we already have in our possession to pay instead of giving it back for projects that already have are under contract. But what was misinterpreted by some, as Dan Houser called, some mid-level bureaucrat at the Department of Finance, was the word amendment. You know, they just looked at the latest contract. It was an amendment.
The fact that that was in there.
Right. We just had an adjustment. It was a minor adjustment. The fact is the contracts were in place from 2007, and we have to pay them. So here we are. These buildings are, well, and the other one is the Plaza Point downtown that is already, people have moved in. It's done. And they haven't told us yet that they're going to disallow that, but we're kind of standing on eggshells, hoping that, you know, because we couldn't believe they would disallow the Sandpiper RV park. So we're just, we have to go back to Sacramento and waste a lot of city staff time to talk some sense into folks that their only job is basically to claw back money. Is they that's their term, clawing back the money.
And yeah, well, we got other phrases we could use, huh?
And they're pretty much disallowing most everything.
Yeah, is it a disallow or is it come back, beg, borrow, grovel, and we'll say it's okay?
Well, first they disallow. They say that you can come back and beg and borrow, and that's called the meet and confer process, and we've already been through that. So now our assembly member is going to get us in the door and have us sit down with us. And
if a project's done, isn't it over?
Well, it's 90% done. I mean, the buildings are in place. The asphalt has been, you know, we have things like...
The Plaza Point project.
Well, Plaza Point is done, yes. There's one more payment, but Sandpiper, we have to do porches, for instance. We have to finish the stick building that has the laundry facility, but the shell is already up. There's about $450,000-$500,000 worth of finished work to do to totally button up the Sandpiper project. Once it's up, we can sell those homes to people, and we can give back to the county to distribute close to $1 million. But we can't do that until we pay the contractors so they can finish the job. And these are the nonsensical issues that we're wrestling with.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time is 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. So you got $500,000 left to go, but immediately there's going to be a kickback of $1 million plus as soon as it's done. A lot of money has already been invested in this RV park renovation as part of the redevelopment effort. It would seem to me, outside looking in, that the folks in Sacramento would go, okay, this one's too far along.
It would seem, wouldn't it? So the oversight board...
Now, what if they came to you and said, okay, Randy, we'll zero everything out, but you got to cover the $500,000, the remaining part of the project. You're on your own. Everything else, okay, fine, we'll allow it. Is that unacceptable?
They haven't allowed us to peel the onion back that far yet to even get into those issues, because as our assembly member told us in a meeting yesterday, was that their job is to just, and they use the term claw back the money. I mean, the current state budget is balanced on on the fact that they think they're going to claw back so much money. So they're not making it easy. So cities like Arcata, we do have the resources and contacts, you know, in Sacramento to peel that onion back a little bit more. But you look at, you know, small cities throughout California, I would imagine a lot of them would just capitulate and walk away.
But doesn't that put them into fault?
It depends on if they have projects that are in progress that they haven't paid for. In Arcata's point, you know, we could have left $1 million hole in the ground and sent money back to the county auditor and probably would have been a lot better. But how ethical is that to leave $1 million hole in the ground? I don't think that's what you elect your public officials to do with your tax money.
No, probably not.
Besides, we'd be in trouble with 8CD for not having the low income.
No, you have a
coastal
commission, you'd have an unpermitted pool.
Yeah.
Or wetland.
Right, it was a wetland.
Yeah. So what do you think is the most probable resolution on this?
I think we're going to probably get those contractors paid off. We're with the funds that they were intended for, and if the state ends up disallowing that, then we're going to have to find other ways to pay that. Because I think that we feel pretty much, and the council's going to make the ultimate decision. But I think, you know, the staff and the council members that I've talked to, we all feel pretty united in that we have to fulfill our obligations. I mean, you know, you can't just walk away from something. And of course, you know, it's not a matter that we would get sued by the contractors, because we would. But these are obligations, and you don't walk away from your obligations when you're entrusted with being the steward of public funds, in my opinion.
Has the state been sued by local jurisdictions?
Yes, San Diego sued them, and San Diego got their money back. But it was a different part of a redevelopment issue. But yeah, there are some lawsuits coming out, and that's an option. Certainly, we'd like to go through this negotiation process with our hometown assembly member first. We think that's probably. But anytime you get into a litigation, you know who ultimately wins.
Yeah, the lawyers.
But again, you know, that if we have to, we probably.
Of course, you have a friend who is a lawyer, don't you?
I have lots of friends that are lawyers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't hold it against them.
Oh, see, I hit my quota with one. But city managers, that's four or five. Thanks for coming by, Randy.
Thanks, Brian.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.